How's it going?
Excellent. How are you?
I'm A-okay.
That's pretty good. It's like top of the heap.
Yeah.
You could be A plus okay, but I guess your essay wasn't worth that. I remember one time in university, a really good friend of mine who had a huge purple mohawk at the time. We were both taking modern English lit. I think it was like 1920s forward British lit. And we stayed up super late one night, did a couple of essays on the same thing. I don't remember what it was. And when we got him back, we're sitting beside each other, and we were really competitive. And I got an A minus. I'm very disappointed because I was always a very good student. But he got an A minus minus. And he was like, what is minus minus? I'm like, the prof just wanted you to be very clear mine was better. That's all that means. That's our takeaway. And I've never let Ian forget that. If you're listening, Ian, yeah, I still remember. It's like 25 years later and I'm still bringing it up.
I want to know if Ian still has the mohawk.
He does not. He went on. He was a frat guy, a mohawk guy, like a really cool dude. And if you're listening, Ian, I'm disappointed you no longer have that mohawk, because now he is a he became a professor at Oxford University in England. When he went there to find out if he got in for his PhD program, which he also did at Oxford, I flew over and surprised him. He didn't know I was coming. And I just, because Oxford's a relatively small town.
I do understand the concept of surprise.
Well, but what's fun is you're in another country, across the world, walking down a street, and one of your best buddies walks by and goes, hey, Ian, and just keeps walking. And that was fun.
Nice. My dad
dropped the
mohawk.
Surprised.
Yeah. My dad and I once surprised my this was like in the 80s. My dad was a travel agent, and my grandmother and my aunt and my uncle and my cousins were on a big international tour trip. Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't know where they're going, but I do know that one of their trips was London. And like literally like one day so they're going on this trip and whatever, and my dad and I were not. And literally one day my dad was just like, what do you want to do for your birthday or whatever? I'm just like, I want to go to London and surprise the cousins. Okay. So we're in London, and you know, we fly there, and he had cheap travel because he was a travel agent.
Sure.
There used to be a job called travel agent. We'll get into that later.
in the 80s, there was a thing. Hey, kids, there used to be a thing called travel agent.
So we're sitting outside the hotel waiting for them to show up. And they pull up in their tour bus or whatever. And you know, they're getting off the bus. And they're looking all beleaguered, like they've been in the tour bus for 6 or 8 hours or whatever. It's like, oh. And they're just like walking toward the hotel. And they just like see us sitting on this bench outside the hotel. And, you know, just like the size of their eyes was just like, we're just like, what the hell? We didn't tell them.
That's awesome.
We just, it was good. So then my cousin and I mostly that night hung out in like in the lobby, not the lobby, but like a ante room off the lobby of their hotel, where they were setting up a computer lab, like a PC lab, like,
cause they knew you were coming,
a business center or something. And, we kind of hung out there while the guys set up the PCs, and we contemplated stealing a mouse, but we didn't actually do that.
Cause you're good boys.
Well, yeah. Because I wouldn't got caught, but I really wanted to.
Plus, it wouldn't work on your Atari, so you're like, why bother?
That's true, right?
Why bother? Why would I slum with this IBM stuff?
Right. So, yes, that was Cousin Todd. And now we are recording a podcast. Flash forward.
This is a podcast. Travel used to be a thing. Travel agents used to be a thing, but even travel itself used to be a thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I remember when there was travel.
Yeah, I miss it.
I miss it too. Oh, well, that's it. Welcome to the world. Well.
You are likely to be eaten.
You are likely to be eaten by a group. If this predicament seems particularly cruel, consider whose fault it could be. Now the torture of a match in your inventory. You are likely to be eaten by a group. If this predicament seems particularly cruel, consider who. Fault it could be, not a torch or a match in your inventory.
So what's new. It's been like 15 hours since I've seen you.
I know.
It's what it feels like.
These are fast. And
right? These modern games are so short, which I guess I should have anticipated. I mean, back when we were playing the Infocom games, these were things that people were doing for a living. So somebody was assigned to it and said, okay, this is what you're doing full time for the next 8 months or so. And they're trying to put out a game that they're going to charge, you know, $50 for, $60 for in the 80s, which is like a lot of money.
Yes, like $3,000 in today's dollars or something.
Minimum. In fact, Canadian dollars don't go that high. It's so much. And like, we just don't have that denomination. We just round up. We have one, two, three, many. It costs many dollars. And so it made sense that these were like big games that took months and stuff. And if somebody's just doing a modern thing for fun as a hobby on the side that they knock out over a weekend, of course it's going to be short. But I think going into these modern games, I didn't realize how short they would be. Mm-hmm. They're right. So tiny.
And this is another one of those situations where I finished Everybody Dies before you had posted the previous episode.
Right, so fast.
And you know, before you did the editing and posting, and I'm just like, oh, okay, we're going to need another game. So we did two games this time too.
Well, one and a half.
Yeah, I guess.
Unfortunately, we'll get to that.
Anyway, so I'm just putting out there now, I want the next game that we play to be a longer game, and I want it to have a parser and puzzles.
Yes, and please.
Yes, I've already kind of picked. We're not using the randomizer this time.
You picked?
I have a one that if you agree to that I'd like to do.
We're doing the K-anizer.
Yeah, right. The randomizer of a, you know, pick a number between 0 and 2. And that's the game we're going to play.
Cool. I like it.
We got a lot of mail.
We got a strangely large amount of mail and feedback, given that we posted the last episode 5 minutes ago.
Right.
We posted the last episode during the theme song they just played. Did I copy? We got a couple of really good ones and super long ones that I don't even know how to. Oh, but you know, we also, I always tell everybody at the end of the show, hey, hit us up on Twitter. And then I never read any Twitter feedback and I feel guilty. So I've got a couple things from Twitter. A really good one. Lane wrote us on Twitter saying, my partner and I are playing Task Times in Toontown on my compact portable. I think you covered this game a long time ago in 1 MHz, but I humbly request you and Kay cover it on Eaten by a Gru, as it's one of the best of the graphical text era. And then sent a couple of pictures actually, of his partner playing the game on a compact portable with this tiny little screen.
I missed that. Twitter. Oh, I did not see that one.
So good.
I've never played Task Times in Toontown.
It should be on our list. It should be on the list.
Put on the list.
I mean, it's graphical. It's not a text adventure, but it's really good.
Burger Becky.
Yes, indeed.
That, right? Rebecca
Hyman. Or I think, did she do the original or just the port for the 2GS?
She might have just done the 2GS port.
I think it was like the 2GS. Just wizard can just like take anything and make right. So I definitely she was the 2GS creator, but I don't know if it was also an original game or I don't know, right. But I love anyway, it I on, love it it's tough
it's on the list I've
it's
never
a hard
played
one.
It
it's yeah. a hard one yeah hmm. yeah hmm. It's a toughie, right? Long, it's got puzzles, it's got funky music.
All right. Well, look, it has graphics, so it's out. We're doing
it's one of those newfangled games.
We're going old school classic text.
No, you're just going to play it with the monitor turned off and then, you know, just click and see what has got music. You'll know when you click something good. Quizzling Hunter, RN, great Twitter handle, said, didn't catch it when playing, but you verbalized. Oh, this is about the game we just played where you're doing the trauma stuff. What was that? We literally just did it.
Oh, right. I don't know.
That you hunt angels.
Their angelical understanding.
That was it. Yes. Yeah. With that great opening line. Said, didn't catch it when playing, but you verbalizing the phrase cleared it up for me. Hiding your face in a bottle. Remember I talked about that? Wondering what that was about. Mm-hmm. Hiding your face in a bottle adroitly lines up with a lot of common trauma responses. Losing face, seeking safety in anonymity or facelessness, and the refuge of inebriation itself. I'm like, those are really good points, and I can't believe none of that occurred to me. So once again, our listeners are smarter than me. But I didn't even make the jump to the idea of inebriation or losing yourself in a bottle, or the idea of losing face, which is right there in the word. So I should pay more attention.
We got another email on the same topic. I don't want to take, if you want to get back to Twitter, but just on the topic from Jason, who said he called it an angst game. He said a modest proposal for dealing with these angst games. The next time an angst game comes up, play the patient zero of angst games in the end instead. Then, every subsequent time an angst game is recommended or randomly selected, you can simply say, no thank you, we already covered in the end, and choose a different game.
Okay. Also, that's pretty high praise, or high praise for in the end.
Yes. Although I don't know if I need more angst in my life. In the end is not on the list. I'm putting on the list.
Put it on the list. Fine. You're on the list.
And angst game. I'm putting that in the notes.
Yeah, but you should say angst game. Default angst game. Whenever I read or hear a modest proposal, I think, is it a reference? Are we doing a reference to Swift or not a reference? Like, people use that phrase, and I'm never sure if they're quoting. Do you know a modest proposal?
Sure.
Eat the children.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm a huge, huge Jonathan Swift fan. So any mention. Oh, speaking of quotes, on another back to Twitter, Daniel on Twitter said, a wonderful episode, replete with yet another Buckaroo Banzai reference. Come for the IF, stay for the BB. It is true that I drop Buckaroo Banzai references constantly.
And I miss them constantly. I saw the movie once in 1989, and that was it.
I have watched it constantly. I'm watching it at the moment. It's on the screen behind you. Like, I just love the film. I find myself almost unintentionally quoting it continually. So yes, I do drop Buckaroo Banzai references.
I had a friend, my buddy Tim, had a Buckaroo Banzai themed bulletin board system that ran on an Atari.
I missed out on that completely.
Yeah. It's called Planet 10. So that's Buckaroo
Banzai thing, right?
Yeah. Hey, Tim, if you're listening.
When do we want to get?
I wonder if Tim's hanging out with Ian. Tim and Ian.
Could be. All listening, shaking their heads, combing their mohawks. Who knows? Who knows? We got an email from Herb, our buddy Herb. I like Herb. Hi, Herb. He said, I was starting to listen to episode 48 and got caught up in your cold opening about chainsaws, particularly Kay's mini rechargeable one. And I had to respond because just a few days ago, I watched a YouTube video where a guy actually used a small rechargeable chainsaw built to build a mini log cabin. So don't discount its capabilities. And he sent us a link to the video, which I found quite enjoyable. Now he's going to go listen to the podcast. So that's probably the earliest stopping. Like, forget stopping at the spoiler fence. It's like stopping at the cold open. That's it. No, theme song. Let's talk about chainsaws.
The cold open fence. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. If you don't want to know anything about either game, then just stop now.
I think maybe we should together cooperate to read.
I'm not singing the song. You're doing PRs, right?
Can we recite the song? I don't know the tune, so we can't sing.
I don't know the tune either. It's so good. We got. It might be my favorite ever. Like, yeah. It's so good. It's so good. We got an extended song from Piero in Berlin. The lyrics to it or poem. What do you call this? But it's delightful.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Are we going to do some of it? We're going to do all of it?
Yeah, let's read it. Let's switch off stanzas or something.
Okay, you want to start or I want to start?
Sure, I'll start because it starts with my name. At K. Savitz and Carrington, I'd like to thank you both in song.
I don't think that was part of the song. Okay, now I'll begin the song. For the greatest podcast depiction about this interactive fiction.
I started listening just this March, every day to a new podcast.
No wait for me between your plays, the months reduced to single days.
From here to there was nigh 4 years, an archive treat for listening ears.
Through the trials of Ballyhoo, Infidel, and Zork 3 too.
Suspect, Cutthroats, Sea Stalker, Scavenge, Moonmist, Excalibur.
Good or bad, it didn't matter. What counted was the friendly chatter.
I listened freely without a care. Another episode was always there.
For weeks and weeks, this carried on, my growing love for Infocom.
Even though I'd never played a single game they may have made.
In 85, I saw their ads in various computer mags.
But text alone was not enough. A young kid needed graphical fluff.
Point and click was very clever. Words and pictures both together.
Cyan, Sierra, LucasArts, they were the ones who won my heart.
But now I see this misadventure to ignore the humble text adventure.
A game that's made with words alone is indeed a thing I should have owned.
So lucky that we now can get all of them on the internet.
Anyway, now the end of the road. I reached your latest episode.
Now I wait firmly seated until the next game's completed.
The monster feet, the slavering grew. I've just joined the podcast queue.
How... wonderful, right? How adorable. It just absolutely made my day getting that email. It's just,
thank you. This is from Piero, and this was delightful.
Yeah, just loved it. My gosh, what a treat. That was so nice.
But no, there's no way we're going to sing that.
No, nobody wants that.
I sang on this podcast once. That was enough.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Do I have more email? I don't know if I copied it. I got to that and I don't even know if I copied other things. I know we got a really, really long one. But from Joel, but I don't think I absorbed it well enough to address it or talk about it yet.
Yeah, it was long and good, but yeah. Probably needs, yeah. Somebody called, let's look at Zach. Zach said, guys, I was listening to your podcast a couple of years ago when you first posted the interview with Steve Moretzky and then went back to listen to the older episodes, stopping at the spoiler fence for the games I wanted to play. During COVID, when I was no longer commuting, I stopped listening to podcasts. But somehow I stumbled upon the show again and wanted to congratulate you on finishing all the Infocom games. I was totally enthralled by Infocom back in the day. The games were expensive, so I wasn't able to buy them when I was a poor student. That didn't stop a lot of people from playing. It was not until the 90s that I started picking up a few of the later games like Border Zone and eventually Lost Treasures, Masterpieces, and all the used copies I could find, including all the gray boxes, all the collections, and several folios. And then I bought all the Dennis Wheatley crime file dossiers from the 30s, all the reissues from the 70s and the 80s. I know you guys are not a fan of mysteries. Carrington is, but it's me.
I are.
Fan of mysteries. Yeah. But I love them. At least I love the concept. I only finished a few games. Since you're now into the post-Infocom games, I encourage you to check out Chris Huang's An Act of Murder Written in Inform. The game has helped me get back into things. It's quite easy, fun, but also procedurally generated. I eventually worked on my own murder mystery, the Z Machine Matter, written in Inform 7, complete with box artwork manual and a prototype game whose development stalled out after some time. Eventually, I ended up writing a 350-page novel, The Man from Mittelwerk, instead. I assume that's German. I don't know. And somehow that was easier. And he sent us a link to that. Yep, I like awesome. The idea of, I think we might have even discussed this back when we were doing the mystery games, of having one that's procedurally generated or just like different every time that way. Because once you've solved it, I mean, you've solved it, but.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I agree. I'm very amiable that way.
Yes.
You're sure.
Amiable in many ways.
Why not? I can be aimed. Get at the trebuchet. Let's aim some Carrington. So, shall we get to the games?
Let's get to the games.
These teeny tiny games. So first we played, we finally were able to play Everybody Dies by Jim Monroe. I was really excited about. And then
The summary of this episode is we played a game that we weren't able to play before, and then we weren't able to fully play a game that we're not able to play.
Right, exactly. So maybe next time we can play that one. I don't know. We will see. But the first game, Everybody Dies, I was able to, as far as I know, play the entire game. And this time, how about you? You played it as well. What did you play it in?
I played it in the web browser.
I also played it in the web browser.
You go to the IFDB page. I guess it's some information. And there's a button that says play online. And sure enough, it works. And you can do that. Now, can you, in case I've forgotten or someone is listening out of order, can you go in about Jim Monroe and why you love him?
Okay, so he's a Canadian author, Toronto-based, I think, Toronto-based, I'm not supposed to pronounce that second T, who I really like, who I discovered him in the way that people discover things that already exist. When I was walking through a bookstore once, there used to be things called bookstores, kids, look it up. And now
sometimes right in the mall, right next to the travel agency.
Across from the arcade. So most, I love to read. Most of the times the way I find books or find authors is it's other things by an author I already like, or somebody's got a list of books they like, and I'm reading through that, or you find other recommendations or whatever. But also it's fun to just be in a bookstore, walk around, see a cover and read it. And I found like sometimes you discover something really cool that way. And in this case, I was caught by the title of a book, which was Flyboy Action Figure Comes with Gas Mask. And I was like, okay, I want to read this book. Quirky writer, interesting writer, modernist, I dig his stuff. I've read, I don't know, half a dozen books by him, I think. I got one signed in Fake Blood once. Just a big fan. And he is, well, Flyboy was published traditionally. I think after that, he got into self-publishing and also enabling other people to self-publish. And so he's kind of on the periphery of publishing and all that. Has an imprint of his own called No Media Kings. So if you want to publish a book, you can publish it yourself under that imprint, and does movies, does a whole bunch of things, but I didn't know also does games. So what do you know? And this was a short game, not even his first game, but a short game that he put out. So I was quite excited to play a game by an author I already knew and liked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I'd never heard of him until you were excited by him that time.
He's Canadian. People don't know Canadians.
Sure.
Fly under the radar.
The about the story says, it starts with a metalhead, Graham, realizing that throwing that shopping cart over the bridge was not the great idea he thought it was, even if it did get him out of washroom duty at Cost Cutters. And it's illustrated by Michael Cho, and we haven't, this did indeed have illustrations.
It did. I was surprised by the illustrations. Like when it popped up, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, look at this. And I really liked it. It was an illustration in an ink and single color style, like black and teal for the first mm-hmm. image, really evocative of comic books. And then I looked at Michael Cho, who turns out to be a Canadian illustrator and cartoonist, and has been nominated for a number of awards, and has work like really positively reviewed all over the place. And I was like, oh, turns out, of course it looks like comic books because he's done a bunch of indie comic books. So it was really cool. I really liked the illustrations.
Yeah. It wasn't too many, but it was just here and there. There was a, yep. Yeah.
Well, it's a short game. How many illustrations could you have?
Sure. This was a short game, and that's my biggest problem with it. There were some interesting ideas in this game, some interesting play structures that mm-hmm. I don't recall having seen before, where basically, you know, you can control several people at once, sort of. And I really liked that idea. And then the game was over. I'm just like, this was like a sampler of what could have been.
Exactly. Yes. Well put. It did feel like a sampler of like a bigger thing.
Yeah. It was like a concept, you know, of what could have been a large, because I mean, there could be an entire much bigger game of figuring out puzzles. And there was like two or three like little puzzles where you had to like use someone else's skills who was kind of in you in this meta person or whatever to solve a problem. Like for instance, mm-hmm. reading something in another language that you don't read yeah. or whatever. And I mean, that could have been expanded into a much bigger than 1 hour little game.
100%. And I liked that thing. So we should talk about like in the game without being spoilery, it's called Everybody Dies. So unsurprisingly, everybody dies. Yeah. And but it's kind of like a ghost thing or whatever. Like so you're playing a character, that character will die, and then the game goes on though. And so like, and the first time it happened, I thought, have I done something wrong? Let's pause and talk about that. So you're playing the game and then you're gonna die, and as far as like you have to die, you can't progress without dying. Did you think at that point, oh, I better restart, or I know what's going on?
For a fraction of a second, but I think it made it pretty clear that you're in some sort of netherworld or something. And
because it says something like the game continues, whatever, but there's a lot of feedback online of people saying, like, I can't get past this part. I keep dying. And they basically have to be told, well, just like hit the space bar. Like the game keeps playing. You don't have to restart.
Right.
But I thought the game made it clear. But
no.
And so then when you go into the next section, that person who just died is kind of like in your head. You're the next character, but they're in there too. Mm-hmm. And you can see through their eyes or have them do things or whatever. And so kind of like ghosts, I found the concept a little vague. Like, I wasn't really sure. Like, how is it that I've got this other person inside me? And it's like, now we're back in time as well. So you've got that person who died, but we're going to back up time. And now that person is inside the head of the next character. So it's kind of weird, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I had difficulty getting my head
to figure out what was going on, but in this role with it.
Yeah, I didn't find the game difficult at all. And you're like you say, there's only a couple of puzzles. It's like three sections, one small puzzle each. It's a quick and relatively easy game. But I liked that conceit. I like the idea that I'm playing as character A, but I've got characters B and C inside me, and they might have different skills. And you can literally see the world through somebody else's eyes. Like, we're playing with that kind of idea. And like you say, like, if another person understands a different language, you can read things in that language if you're seeing through their eyes. And so, and I dug that. I wish that was expanded upon. I would have liked that to be a thing through a larger game. I agree. Mm-hmm. Like, that would have been cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to be spoiler on this because this is worth playing.
I think so too. Yeah.
Yeah. I just had some interesting ideas, and I like the writing style. I mean, the guy's a writer, so okay. Yep.
But it's an adult game. Mm-hmm. I mean, it deals with Graham, Randy, and Lisa, but there's swearing.
It deals with some issues that have been in the news lately, and was a little close to the home.
Right. Exactly. So I thought, like, in a sense, we should give like kind of a trigger warning because it deals with racism. Like, there's racism in this game. Not that it's a racist game, but there's a racist character in the game. Yeah. And it deals with swearing and death and smoking and drug mention. And like, so this is not a rated G game by any means. This would not have been put out by Infocom.
No. Right. No. No, it's so, not. Yeah, it's adult. It's not like dirty. It's just adult themes.
Oh, yeah. You didn't unlock the dirty part?
No. Oh. I'll go back and play it again.
Yeah, I did that. All I did was that part.
Oh, okay.
Did you write down how many moves it took you to finish? Like, you don't really get a score on this. You just
finish. I did that. No, I didn't.
So I ended in 129 moves.
Actually, I might still have Scatterlight open. That's how we played it, right?
Yeah. Web browser baby.
Sorry, that was the other one we played. No, I don't.
Oh wait, I played the other one in the web browser, right? I played this one, the gblorb file or whatever,
right? We had to play it in Spatterlight.
I played it in Spatterlight. Right. I'm like, right, because web browser, we would have just played it the first time because it would have been easier.
Web browser last time and it didn't work.
Right.
And we had to play it in Spatterlight.
Somebody recommended you could play it in ScumVM as well, which I did not try, but apparently you can do that as well.
Yeah.
Oh, that was right. Sorry, listeners. Yes, it's gblorb file, and I played it. I downloaded and installed a thing called Spatterlight, which I think is a Mac OS piece of software, and that there's an equivalent PC one, and I'll have a link to both of those in the show notes. If you want to play the game.
It's just the number up in the top of the
Right corner.
It says the name of the room, and then there's a number. Yeah. Is that the number?
Yes.
So 273 moves.
Ooh, that's a lot of moves. You got mad moves, dude.
Yeah. Ooh, I do. It was not a long game at all.
Nope.
And I think
But I liked it, and I would recommend it.
Yeah, me too. I learned some words.
You learned words in this game?
I did.
There were 15 words in this game. Which of them did you not know?
One of the words I learned was Hate Sphere, a Danish thrash metal band formed in 2000 by guitarist Peter Pepe Hansen. And a word that I think I knew, but I had forgotten, a kirpin, a Sikh ceremonial dagger.
Right. Usually worn as the miniature one, right? Yeah.
But I definitely did not know Hate Sphere, the Danish thrash metal band. That was an important word that I...
Okay, I suspect I didn't know that either, and I must have learned it. Because I wouldn't have known that. I bet our buddy Jack, he would know it. So I'll ask him. I dug it.
Yeah, I dug it too. It's worth playing. It was hard to... I mean, this is our second time trying to play it, but if you have a Mac, play it with Spatterlight. You can play it just fine. And other than that, it's tricky. Good game, should have been longer.
Agreed.
That's all I can say about it.
Yeah. But still liked it. Like, I'm still glad I played it. Like, the fact that I want it to be longer is just indicative of the fact that it was a good game and I enjoyed it, and I would have liked to have twice as much of it. And also, I'm getting frustrated by these really short games.
Yeah.
What's something with a bit more meat? But for what this was, I liked the story. I found it interesting. I found it different. I liked the whole, you've got people inside you, which is really hard to describe. Like, if you play the game, listener, you'll get it right away. It's more confusing to describe than to play. But I dug it, and I liked it, and I enjoyed the ending. It came to an actual end. It has a little plot, and you play it, and I got to the end, and I'm like, okay, that was worth it. It seemed well-rounded and complete. I liked it a lot. Well done, Jim Munro. Mm-hmm. I knew I liked him for a reason.
Yes.
And I have spoilery things about it. Like, we can talk after. I've got more I'd like
to
say.
A few little things. All right, we'll have a little spoiler fence later. But for now, move on to the other game we played,
which was B by Emily Short. You had said, "Hey, you finished the game in 15 seconds." I hadn't even posted the previous one. Like, okay, I'm already done. Let's pick another game. And I said, I want to play one by like one of the big names or whatever. Let's do something by one of these people. You said, "Hey, let's do an Emily Short game." Mm-hmm. And so I picked B, just kind of randomly looking at the list. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, another game not available.
Yeah. So it's about a girl who is in a small, very insular family, and she's studying for the spelling bee. She wants
spelling bee.
She wants.
I didn't
to get
think
to,
it would be a spelling bee.
I love a spelling bee. Yesterday, the day before we recorded this, was the Scripps spelling bee, which I watched all the way through, the big national spelling bee.
Really, I saw that. There's a film about the big spelling bee. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A documentary. Watch that.
Yeah, I've seen that. Well, yesterday was this year's spelling bee, which was very exciting at the end. It was very interesting ending.
I find that fascinating because as you might know, I love words. I love language. Mm-hmm. I love reading. I love all that. And a spelling bee seems ridiculous to me. And I would have, like, even watching the documentary, the people I watched it would loved it. And I thought, okay, this is cool. And they've really hyped it up because of the documentary. But I thought I would never actually watch a spelling bee.
Hmm.
Really?
No, so I watched the whole thing start to finish. And you know, you tear up at points. It's amazing. You're watching these little kids just like being either just like being awesome and poised and smart, or sometimes just like crying.
I'm going to feel so tense and feel bad for all of them except one is going to lose, and maybe all of them are going to lose. Right. I don't know. I don't want to watch little kids lose and get sad. You're a monster. Monster. So when I picked B, I think I tweeted to you, I like bees. Sherlock Holmes likes bees. This is going to be awesome. Let's do a game about bees. It was not about bees. So I was wrong. It's spelling bee.
It was a spelling bee. So anyway, this girl is in a religious insular
family.
She's
homeschooled.
She is studying for the bee. And this is a game where, I mean, there's a lot of text and you're reading and you can choose kind of what she does next. And it's like there's no parser. It's not a Twine game. It's written in something else we'll talk about in a minute. But you kind of choose what she's going to concentrate on. Is she going to help her sister with her art project, or is she going to go to church and or is she going to study these words? And
like different events come up and it's like, okay, now it's Easter or whatever. Right. You're going to help your parents do this. You're going to help your dad with his newsletter or help your sister with chores, whatever. Or are you going to study a word? Right. And if you go study, it's like, I'm going to do this and learn these word roots. And there's a lot of love of language in the game, which is
and
great.
There's this, and I'm not even going to list the words I learned because there's so many words in this.
Oh, really? Okay.
I mean, well, the spelling bee words. I mean, there's, you know, a lot of, there's some spelling bee words and it's a slice of life game where you just kind of guiding this girl through what choices she's going to make. The problem is you can't really play this game all the way through. It was written in a thing called Verytale, right? Which was this, I think, commercial platform for authoring and publishing browser-based choose-your-own-adventure games. And it existed for a minute and Emily Short wrote this game for them, and then the company just disappeared, went out of business. And you can't get the Verytale player anymore anywhere, and you just can't do it. Somebody converted it to, tried to convert the game to another, I've lost the thing now.
To a thing called Dendry.
Dendry. And Dendry is just this other, I don't know, IF player thing. But anyway, so they converted this thing. But even I didn't realize until I had completed the game, such as it were, the Dendry version is not complete. It doesn't have the ending. It doesn't have, there's some sort of scoring system in the game, which I didn't even realize, but on my second play, it became clear what it was doing. But there's some sort of scoring system or stat system or something where, like, how much have you gone to church? How much have you studied the words? And the options you're given change based on what you have done. My second playthrough, I was trying to fill in bits of the story that I had missed, you know? So I didn't study any of the words.
Oh, interesting. I played through twice too, and I also tried to do a different thing. Right. You just like skipped the word study. How interesting.
And then two things happened. One, the dad came and like yelled at me and was just like, you're not studying the words enough. Like, are you serious about the spelling bee or not? And then when the spelling bee came, the first time when I had studied words, it showed me the wrong answers were all grayed out. You know, it's just like, that doesn't sound right.
Sure. Right. Yeah, me too. You get there and you're like, you just know it.
I hadn't studied words at all. All the choices were there available to me.
And including the right choice?
Including the right choice.
Okay.
So, but I chose badly just to see what would happen.
Right.
So anyway.
You cry. Have you not watched the documentary? You cry. That's what happens.
And then at some point, and I think it's around the time of the second spelling bee, the game just ends. It just, mm-hmm. it's just like you're done. So it just this. So I was so into this game, Carrington. I loved the character. I loved the writing. It could have, I don't know. It could have been negative towards homeschooling people, or
but it wasn't. Or it wasn't at all. I did not feel it was talking down to her parents at all. It seemed very respectful of like all characters in this game. And when I read what this game was about, I'm like, you're going to play a young homeschooled girl who's really into spelling bees mm-hmm. in a very religious family. I'm like, this is not for me. This game is, it was totally for me. Mm-hmm. I was wrong. This game was gripping and great.
It was gripping and I empathized with the character and I was just like, I'm into this. I want to know what happens to her. And then Dendry just like craps out and you're done.
And I'm left hanging because I really want to know what happens. I was super enjoying this game. Ugh.
Yeah. Like I said, I went back played it a second time to try to fill in gaps and like get every aspect of the story that I could. I Twittered Emily Short and like, hey, is there any way to play this? You know, I'll accept an ISO of a Windows XP, you know,
like whatever. Anything, right?
Yeah, anything. And she's just like, nope,
there's nothing.
Yeah.
And this whole thing sucks so badly that we can play games from the 1980s. With no problem at all. Like so many different ways to play all these games from the 80s. And the games written less than a decade ago are just vanishing because people tie them to these ephemeral things on the website. Oh, and then it just disappears. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing, makers? Why are you doing that? Like, you should also have a version of your art that can withstand some time, man.
I mean, it's hard to fault Emily Short or anybody. They were trying to create some...
I felt very
some seed, you know, games for this new platform. But yeah, I felt Verytale for whatever. You should have open sourced this on your way out the building or something.
Like, how hard would that be? You're making a thing that can just play on there. And what bugs me is you go to archive.org, which I'm like, okay, let me go see what's on there. Mm-hmm. And no, it was just getting 302 errors like at crawl time back in 2012. Like, it was trying to crawl it then, and it was like, nope, these things are supposedly redirected or whatever. They were just doing it all back end things, just making it essentially unavailable other than going through their little portal. So you can go on archive, you can see it, you can click play, and it's like, yeah, no, archive's got nothing.
Right.
Super anyway, frustrating.
So, yeah. So, I mean, this girl, I mean, she's got these choices, like these choices to make. It's like she's pulling, like she wants to be a little more independent. She wants to like see the world a little bit. And yet, you know, how are the parents going to feel like that? And there was like one super compelling part where she's like, goes to the salon with like a different from with Mrs. Barron, like a different right. family member. And like Mrs. Barron's just like, I'll get you a haircut. You want a haircut? You don't right. have to get that stupid homeschool haircut. You can get like any haircut you want. And like, does she do it? And
does she do it?
Yeah.
And some of the responses are really like really interesting. And there's some great humor in the game. I remember her younger sister, who's called Lettuce, which is so funny.
right.
Lettuce's Aquarium, which is just a book where she's draws fish and stuff in it. And one of the drawings has like a little triangular bit. And so you ask Lettuce, like, what's that little triangular bit? And it's like, oh, well, this is a starfish whose leg has been ripped off. And they go like, do you think like you can eat that? And then she writes on it, like, it's a starfish ranch, like pick your own.
I didn't get that one. I didn't see that one.
It's so good. Like all these little just things that flesh out the world so beautifully. Mm-hmm. I loved everything about this game. Like you, I loved the writing. I was gripped by this simple story. It was just so gripping to me. I loved studying the word roots. I'm like super into language. I'm like, this is super fun. I just enjoyed making those choices. Like, am I going to help my dad with the scrapbook or with the newsletter? Or am I not going to? Or am I going to? Like, just, I got so into this thing. And it's just, it kills me that it just stops. And I feel like there's probably another 25% of this game that was just not accessible.
Mm-hmm.
Very and yet still people should play it. It's still right. good. The bit you can play is so good.
Disappointed, and yet I loved what I had, and I'm happy. Yeah. I'm thrilled to have gotten.
Because it's not that the Dendry port doesn't work. It does work. It's just incomplete. It's like, yeah. And then also it's incomplete in that you don't get the interface, you don't get the scoring, but you do get the story. You can read the story. You can make the choices, and that's the real meat of this thing. It's just that you only get X number of percent in before it just stops.
Right. yeah.
Oh well. On the VeryTale site in the archive, when I was looking on the archive.org, it says, this book has been read 64,000 times and has been awarded 4.2 out of 5 stars from 2,800 ratings. 64,000 times this thing got to be read, and we don't get to.
Mm-hmm.
It seems wrong somehow. At least a lot of people got to enjoy it. And what the heck, man, if this is only 4.2 out of 5, some of these modern games must be particularly stunning because this thing was amazing. And if, boy, modern IF people are harsh. This is barely better than a 4 out of 5 because this game was great.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, and people remember it clearly because it's on the Interactive Fiction Top 50 of All Time list, which is how we found it.
Maybe it benefits from that. Like sometimes you go back and play a thing and it doesn't hold up. So maybe by having everyone like it at the time, but then removing it, everyone's like, oh, I remember the ending was great. Sure, I'll put it at number 15.
It's like some ephemeral art where after a certain amount of time, the artist sets fire to it. And then all you have is the memory of it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's awesome. So you're like
a self-shredding Banksy or something.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I dug it. I like another one with a great opening line. It says, how will it end? Like the end is in the beginning. I'm like, I don't get to go to the end or whatever. But it's like this idea that you will lose. Sooner or later, you're going to lose. Like that's what opens with. Sooner or later, you're going to lose. I'm like, oh, that's a great opening. That just like sets a scene just in such a great way. I like the characters. I honestly, I'm gushing about this game, but I love everything about it. I would so highly recommend this thing.
Yeah. And so, I mean, both these games are thumbs up from us. Yeah. 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 This was, I'm disappointed that both weren't longer, basically. That's what, I mean, Everybody Dies was complete, but should have been longer, and B was incomplete, and should have been longer.
Should have been longer. Basically, we want more of everything.
Yes.
I wrote down there were a bunch of great paragraphs and things, but like to give some idea of what this is, one to give an idea of this character, it says, consider what it would be like to have an active vocabulary of a champion speller, to know all these roots and spelling trends, to be set up in advance, to learn all sorts of languages, to be familiar with loans from every language on the globe, to be primed with the jargon of medicine and law. So technical conversations would never befuddle you. It's like a superpower. And that's how she views language. And it's like such an insight into character. I just love it. And then this is my favorite sentence from the whole game. It says, it's when she's visiting the other lady's household. It says, the cuckoo clock on the wall is broken and doesn't tell the time. And the bird is sticking out as though he's come to visit and can't take the hint to go home again. Because like, it's like a run-on sentence, but it's an appropriate run-on sentence. I'm like, oh, Emily, you are very good with language. So this is, what a terrific writer.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing more Emily Short games.
Yeah.
I mean, she's one of the big names in modern IF, and yep. This is the first game I had played.
Me too. Yeah, what an intro, though. My goodness, sets the bar high. I'm very excited to play more games by this author, though. She's really, really wowed me with this. And so you say you learned a bunch of words, but it's too many to...
I didn't write them all down. There was just a lot of spelling bee, you know, words and things in there that I was just like, great. So
I learned it's a
puzzle about... I mean, it's a game
about words, yeah. Like, and so you get to read all these roots and stuff. And
what,
so,
what word did you learn?
I learned Zalok, which I did not know. It's like a type of wind. I did not know that one. Xaloc. That was the word I did. I wrote that down. I did not know that. She was talking about different names for winds, and that was one in the list. I'm like, oh, never heard of that one before.
Zalok.
Yeah.
What type
of wind? Or Zalok, maybe? Maybe it's Zalok? Zalok? I don't know. But it was that was one I did not know. So
nice.
Yeah.
Now you know all the words.
Now I know all the words. Yeah. Well, the rest, everything else, because it's all spelling stuff, but she's a young kid learning spelling. So, you know, my vocabulary is beyond that of an 11-year-old or whatever. So luckily I knew the rest of these. So there wasn't more to it. But it was just interesting because she looks at art movements and and so all these little insights, you can see how she's digging it. So she looks into different roots that are borrowed from different parts of the world and where you get those from it was just terrific. So like if you're into language, it's a great game for celebrating that. Anyway, I just loved everything about it.
Right. And this is one that we actually did both play in the web browser, right?
Yes. This one we played in the web browser.
It's the only way to play it such as it is. Yeah. From the GitHub of B. So
yes, so we'll have a link to that as well. Which like the Dendry. I wonder if Dendry, now that I say that, I wonder if it's from the Arnold Bennett book, Dendry the Audacious. Cause what other Dendry is there? Turn of the 20th century writer, not a great writer to be honest, but like famous, but not. But it's interesting if you name after Dendry. So anyway, the only it just occurred to me the only Dendry I know is the book Dendry the Audacious. I'm not a big Arnold Bennett fan to be honest. So if you read stuff from 1905 or whatever, I wouldn't necessarily pick him. So
okay,
sorry, Arnie.
Is that it for that?
I think that's it. That's non-spoilery anyway.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's pick a new game and then have a little spoiler fence.
Excellent. Let's pick a game. Pick from 0 to 2. Was it? Okay. Pick one. what will this next exciting game?
I don't really care what we play, except that I want to make sure we find something that has puzzles and a parser and is longer than 5 minutes.
I am on board. I am super in the mood for exactly that kind of thing. Yes. Okay.
How do you feel about playing Hayden Lands by Andrew Plotkin?
I know Andrew Plotkin. Let's go back. Let's do Plotkin every 2 episodes.
Right. Well, okay. I mean...
No, I dig it. Yeah.
I kickstarted it, I think, in...
Ooh.
2000. Okay. It won the Best Puzzle, Exizzy Best Puzzle Award 2014. So I kickstarted it in 2013 or 2014 or whatever. And I've never played it. I think I started it. I think I messed around with it, but I didn't really play it.
Right.
I would like to play it. And I think we should, it's been a minute. We should play another Plotkin game.
I dig it. I dig it. I am on board. What does Hayden mean?
I don't know. I think it might be a word he made up.
I know it is Hayden, the geological era?
H-A-D-E-A-N.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. So that's roughly 4 billion years ago. 4 billion years old stuff. Okay.
It is a game of alchemy and exploration with an intricate structure of interlinked puzzles.
Okay.
Every ritual you learn adds new ability to your toolkit, but every ritual requires a different combination of ingredients, and some ingredients are in desperately short supply. It has a sophisticated goal tracking system that permits you to experiment freely. Any ritual you've learned can be performed with a single command. Any puzzle you've ever solved can be resolved automatically. click the in-game map to travel to any room you're familiar with. The goal system. The goal system will even find known keys and resolve intermediate puzzles to get there. But beware, many puzzles have multiple solutions. If the ones you've found don't fit together, you may have to go searching for alternatives.
Oh, sounds complicated. Cool.
It does. This is available everywhere. It's available on your phone, in the App Store. It is available.
Oh, it's available in the App Store.
Yeah. It is available on Steam. It's available in Humble. It's available on itch.io. It is not a hard game to find. I think I have a CD-ROM of it.
That's crazy. My mind is just, okay, I'm going to go download the file. Like, so it's a game I can go on Steam and purchase?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So it's not hard to find. And or you can just, you know, play it on your iPad or your phone or whatever, I guess. Mm-hmm. That's no way to play interactive fiction with typing, but you could.
I play it on my typewriter.
Okay.
I play it by mail. I'm gonna post you my moves. And you'll send me back stuff. Cool.
Good. Excellent. I am excited for this. I've been wanting to play this for a long time. And now it's on the list. Okay. Next, we're going to have the spoiler fence. We are going to talk about spoilery things about the two games that we just discussed, Everybody Dies and B. If you're going to play these games, don't listen to the spoiler fence. You should play these games. They're both absolutely worth checking out, and the small enjoyment you will get from crossing the spoiler fence now is but a morsel compared to the large enjoyment you will get from playing these games unspoiled.
Mm-hmm.
So stop listening, and you can come back later after you've played these games.
I like it.
When I played Everybody Dies, I played it and then I'm just like, oh, here's a game about a racist guy with a gun who kills people. And then like literally I finished the game and like looked at my phone and the school shooting had happened.
Oh no, I played it afterwards. And so I was thinking, oh my goodness, timely and terrible. But
timely and terrible for me in the other direction. So.
Oh my goodness.
Fuck. I just swore. But yeah, it was a little harsh.
Eek.
Yeah. Anyway, so I found a bug.
You found a bug? Of course you did.
You probably did too.
Did I?
I couldn't avoid this bug. It was just a little minor thing. At the very end, when like you're solving like the big puzzle, when you're swapping the labels on the lockers.
Swapping the labels, right? Which I guess I wondered if you solved it the same way. Like that's what I did. I just swapped the labels on the. We'll get to the listeners to understand what we're talking about. So
I would say remove Patrick's label, mm-hmm. and it would say first taking Patrick's label. I'm not wearing that.
How?
And then you put it on the other locker, and then you remove the other label and swap them. But it just like remove it, and it would be like first taking Patrick's label. Well, that's what I wanted, and then I'm not wearing that.
Oh, so, you know why? Because I think I would have said take Patrick's label, and remove means doff, like take off.
Oh.
So I think it was saying remove as in remove a shirt.
I was doing it remove it like remove a stuck thing from a thing that stuck.
Right.
To,
you know. I think remove is remove from yourself in Infocom parlance.
So that was my my bug. I found it confusing. This is my only other complaint, I think. Tim opens Patrick's locker.
Yes.
We know there's going to be a, we're expecting there to be a gun in there. Tim opens Patrick's locker. I look over his shoulder to see if I can spot the gun, but the only thing in it is a magazine. They mean a paper magazine. In this context, I thought they meant like a magazine of bullets.
Oh, that never even occurred to me.
Yeah.
So I also assumed magazine as in like a periodical, a publication. Yeah. Oh yeah, guns take magazines too. I don't think in terms of that.
No, that's like the one thing I know about guns. Is, right. So.
There's the shooty end. I know nothing. Right. Like I'm completely out of it when it comes to that. Interesting. So the game, you're collecting shopping carts. You die as Graham in the first time in the water, trying to get that cart down there, and then you play as Randy and get shot by Patrick or whatever. And then I thought there'd be more with Lisa, But it's like she's like just killed in that same scene, mm-hmm. and I wanted that fleshed out. Mm-hmm. But I didn't like the fact. I mean, it's a small map, but you collect the carts, like mm-hmm. the shopping carts, by just basically going east. Yeah. From the same location, go east. And I kept thinking, like, they must be hidden around. I got to go different places. But it's like, go east to get a car, go east to get a car. I was like, oh, just do that five times.
Right.
It should have been a bigger map where I'm going around trying to find all these shopping carts. This could have been a bigger game.
Easily. I think that's one of the, if this was going to be a bigger game with more puzzles, that would definitely be one of the ways to do that, is actually put in the neighborhood and you have to go find the carts and meet people and fend off dogs and who knows,
or,
you know, and
something, right? Yeah, where you're trying to collect all these carts to bring them back. Right. But I really liked, like we talked about at the beginning, like I liked using eyes, like you look through Graham's eyes to figure out where that one cart is, and when you're Lisa or whatever, looking with Ranny's eyes to be able to read the snacks thing because he can read that language, like just stuff like that was what a cool concept. I really dug that. I liked that a lot.
Yeah, it was such a unique idea, and yeah,
really, I haven't seen that in other games.
That could have been like a full size Infocom game or something, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Or a thing you could do. And if I could see making an Infocom game, and instead of magic, you've got this ability, like to like absorb people essentially, and then use their skills by saying like view with Graham's eyes or whatever. Like it's just like that. What a cool idea. I really dug it.
Yeah. So,
I don't think I have other spoiler stuff. I mean, like the only major puzzle in a sense is figuring out how to get Patrick arrested. And so you've got a few moves in that office as Lisa to figure out, okay, they're going to come and search the lockers. And what else is to do? There's labels on the lockers. So you take Graham's label or whatever, Patrick's label, and then swap the two. Yeah. And easy.
Yeah, it was... There wasn't a lot of other choices of the things to figure out.
Right.
I liked after you screw up at the locker and you don't swap the labels in the right time, it says, okay, don't F it up this time. We don't know if we've got unlimited lives or what, says Graham. Right.
I like that, although it was kind of loosey-goosey, this whole, are they ghosts? Are they not ghosts? Because we're now back in time trying to stop the shooting from happening, but you are being the ghosts after they're dead in the mind of Lisa. Like, how are you in Lisa if the shooting has happened? Like, so the conceit kind of falls apart there. I'm like, what is really happening here? Because you're trying to stop a thing as the ghost, but then you wouldn't be the ghost because it hasn't happened yet. So,
right.
But I still liked it. I still liked it a lot.
Yeah. And I like the line, rockers do not go hungry for poon in La Belle province.
Yes. Okay. Well,
welcome. Today I learned.
A little bit of Canadian wisdom there.
Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. How would I know?
Well, ask Ian. He's got the...
It could be a rocker, right? That's true. I could ask. Okay, so what about B? What do you got to spoil B?
Nothing. I loved it so much. I'm so sad.
Yeah, I don't know if there would be spoilers for that, because it wasn't really puzzle heavy. It's basically a choose your own adventure, and you can't die or go wrong. You just kind of get to the end, I guess. And
do you think that she, in one of the endings or possibilities or whatever, what was the deal with Jerome, the boy that she kind of liked but then like completely ignored her?
I don't know.
Do they end up together? Do they
maybe?
I don't know.
Like, how many endings are there for this thing? Like, we didn't get to have really any of the endings. Right. I just get to go 80% in and it just stops. Like, it literally just stops. You wouldn't like, okay, restart. I'm like, what? Huh? So
yeah,
it was funny when you said it just like it ends really abruptly, and then I read, okay, it's an incomplete port. I'm like, this might explain why it's ending really abruptly.
I didn't even realize it at that point. I just thought it was just like, there's no closing this other spelling bee, no whatever. Does she go to Washington or I don't know.
Did you find any bugs other than the ending not working?
Yeah, you can't actually play the whole game. That's the bug.
Yeah. I found one spelling mistake, which I thought was ironic, but you know, in these indie games, like how could there not be? But
right.
Bergwind was spelled as one word, but it's actually two. Another wind thing. I basically was all my language stuff was about winds. Learned a word, found a bug. It's all wind based. It's all Bergwind. It's all wind based. So yeah. A friend of mine who has a kid named what is his name? Zephyr is the middle name.
Is it Lettuce?
No, but Lettuce was a great name. That's okay. No, and his first name is, it's a beach in Hawaii, Lumahai. Mm-hmm. And so, and so I said, like, what does Lumahai mean? And it turns out it's a word for like a wind that comes off the ocean. And mm-hmm. I'm like, you do know that Zephyr is also a wind, right? You've named your child Windwind. And that didn't go over well. So,
that
you know.
That is not your friend anymore.
Right? That's not a thing I should say. I should keep things just in my head and not necessarily say everything that occurs to me. It's a lesson I will one day learn. Mm-hmm. Poor Windwind.
Not counting on it.
No, I wouldn't count on it either. So yeah, I don't think I have any spoiler stuff though, because like there's not really any puzzles.
Yeah, right.
But hopefully the next game will have puzzles. The next game sounds complicated, man. So
I think we'll see. So. I think this is the next one is a Infocom link, figure out the puzzles and sort of thing.
I'll see you in October.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Is that it?
That's all.
That's all. Another short episode for another short game. That's all. That's all she and he wrote. Mm-hmm. So that's it. This has been Eaten by a Gru, the Infocom fiction, interactive fiction podcast. That's what this is. Infocom, so old-fashioned. If you want, you can send us feedback at gru@monsterfeet.com. Hit us up on Twitter. Turns out we read Twitter things on the podcast as well. Mm-hmm. He is at Kay Savitz. I am at Carrington. If you want to help other people find the podcast, you can maybe give us a nice review on iTunes. People tell me that's a good thing. That'd be nice. Show notes and such are available at monsterfeet.com. And thanks to MC Frontalot for letting us use his song as our theme tune. Remember, you can't spell Frontalot without fun. I guess you can, but you shouldn't. Now go study, kids. Next up will be Hudding Lands by Andrew Plotkin. That's it. Thanks for podcasting with me.
Thank you for podcasting with me. No, I think no. I
no,
you
no,
first.
No. Thank no, you, Mister.
You. No, stop it.
Stop thanking me so I can thank you.
Thank you for podcasting with me, Carrington.
You're not welcome. Yeah, I'll see you next time.
Bye.
Oh no! You have walked into the slavering fangs of a lurking Gru.
And then, let's see, Sunday, I'm going to a food cart pod.
Oh, what's a pod? What do you mean a pod?
A food cart, a collection of food carts.
Like a pod as in like a pod of whales. Yes. Oh, okay, yes. Cool. I had not heard that term that way before.
Okay, that's what we call them here.
Cool, because you're hipsters.
Yes, well, there is a stage there, and I'm going to be playing piano with a group.
Ooh, that's super exciting.
I haven't played live for people since before the pandemic. I'm a little nervous about it.
I would be super nervous, mostly because I can't play piano. So I'd be like, oh, this is going to go horribly wrong.
I've been practicing for 15 years and I feel like I can't play piano.
That's crazy exciting. Look at you. Ooh, so, you tickle the old ivories.
This is a new group that I have been rehearsing with, but have not played with before. So we're going to, it's like pretty low stakes instead of food cart pod, you know.
No, they're literally handing out food. That's what gets thrown at bad bands.
Oh, shit.
Get your ripe tomatoes.